Hello, and welcome to our third ever D-History podcast. Hope you're enjoying the show. I'm enjoying making the shows for you. This is our third podcast for the week of the 19th of March 2007. As I said before, this is our third podcast, and we're quite enjoying bringing these shows to you. We'd love some more feedback at disney.history@yahoo.com. You're welcome to leave us any sort of messages you like on that feedback line. We've got a great show ahead of you today. We've got lots of plenty, actually, of Disney news for you this week. We've also got another Disney factor section. This week we'll be focusing on Mulan, and we'll also bring you the trivia answers last week from the Aristocats. We actually had some answers sent in to us, so I'll be happy to read out those answers. So our first question was, who provided the voice for Thomas O'Malley, the Alley Cat? And we had an answer sent in from Bobby in San Diego, California, from the USA. He answered that the voice was Phil Harris, and that was absolutely correct. Phil Harris did do the voice of Thomas O'Malley, and he had been the voice of Baloo in The Jungle Book 3 years before, for any of you fans of The Jungle Book out there. Our second question was, besides Scat Cat, what four nationalities are represented among his feline singing group? That was mentioned in the show, the four nationalities. They were Chinese, English, Italian, and Russian, the nationalities of those cats in his singing group. And our last question was, what foreign place does the butler plan to ship the cats in a trunk to? And the answer for that one was Timbuktu, which was one of my favourite scenes from that movie. I'm not sure about you, but it's quite good scene there at the end of the movie for me. So I think we'll go into our feature for this week, which is Mulan. Mulan is a 1998 animated feature film produced by the Walt Disney Feature Animation section, and it was released by Walt Disney Pictures on the 19th of June 1998. It's the 36th animated feature in the Disney animated features canon, and it's loosely based on various versions of the Chinese legend of Hua Mulan, and was the first of three produced primarily at the animation studio at Disney's MGM Studios in Orlando, Florida. It was directed by Tony Bancroft and Barry Cook, with the story by Robert D. Sansucci. The film outgrossed its predecessors, The Hunchback of Notre Dame and Hercules, in domestic income, taking over $120 million and over $304 million worldwide. It is among one of Disney's most popular and successful movies to date. Some production notes on the movie is that to create 2,000 Hun soldiers during the Hun's attack sequence, the production team developed a crowd simulation software called Attila. This software allowed thousands of unique characters to move automatically and autonomously. A variant of the program called Dynasty was used in the final battle sequence to create a crowd of 3,000 in the Forbidden City. Pixar's photorealistic render man was used to render the crowd. So that's some clues there on animation there, if there's any of you there who are into animation. The Mulan movie was nominated for quite a few awards. I'll just mention the main ones. It was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Music, Original Musical or Comedy Score at the 1999 Academy Awards. Unfortunately, didn't win. It was just nominated. And it was also nominated for two Golden Globes in 1999 for Best Original Score of a Motion Picture and Best Original Song of a Motion Picture for the song Reflection, which is sung by Christina Aguilera, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in our show today. At the box office, Mulan did fairly well in its opening weekend, taking $22,745,000 in America alone. That was after the budget to make the movie was $70 million, so $50 million off its costs, but it went on to make $66 million in rentals, and yeah, quite a good movie there for Disney. It was produced from June 1994 till April 1998, so over 4 years and nearly 4 years in production for Mulan, and now I think we'll go through a few facts about the movie for you guys. Hopefully you'll like these facts. Mulan's full name, translated literally, means flower of the lily magnolia, a type of tree native to China. The trees in Milan's garden strongly resembled the lily magnolia tree. In the Chinese version of this movie, martial artist Jackie Chan does both the voice and singing role of Captain Chang. Although she is not a princess, Mulan is often regarded as one of the Disney princesses and is featured heavily in all of her merchandising gear, which is out with all the Disney princess range. In the film Lilo and Stitch, Nanny has a poster of Mulan in her room. And the movie is also featured as a playable world named the Land of Dragons in the video game Kingdom Hearts 2, which is available on PlayStation 2, I'm pretty sure. Another fact is, when Mulan sings Reflection in her father's shrine, her reflection appears in the polished surface of the temple stones. The writing on the temple stones is the name of the Disney animators who worked on the film, written in ancient Chinese. Mulan is one of only three Disney heroines, the others being Princess Aurora from Sleeping Beauty and Wendy from Peter Pan, to have both parents alive and well through the entire movie. The movie's soundtrack can also be credited for jump-starting the career of pop princess Christina Aguilera, whose first song ever to be released in the US was Reflection, the first single of the Mulan soundtrack. Reception for the song and Aguilera's voice were so well received that it landed her a recording contract with RCA Records. In 1999, she would go on to release her self-titled debut album, on which Reflection was also included. Leah Salonga, the singing voice of Mulan in the movie, is also the singing voice of Princess Jasmine in the Aladdin movie, which is quite interesting to note. Bruce Willis was originally cast as Li Shang. The movie's artistic supervisors spent 3 weeks in China sketching, photographing, and soaking up the Chinese culture to make the Mulan movie such a culturally accepting movie, I guess, of the Chinese culture. And also, Mulan also went on to, I guess, start off the direct-to-video sequel for Mulan 2, which was released in 2004. It was directed by Darren Rooney and Lynn Sutherland, and again features Mulan as the main character, this time on a special mission, which we might cover in another show. Probably not now, because I don't want a Mulan overload. Hopefully you've enjoyed that section on Mulan today. I guess we should get into some trivia questions of Mulan, seeing that's what we do every week. So remember, if you've got the answers to these questions, email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. And just like today, we'll read out your answers on the show next week. So question one is, what are the names of Mulan's two companions, the dragon and cricket? Again, what are the names of Mulan's two companions, the dragon and the cricket? Question two is, while researching China's famed warriors, what did the Disney team come across that inspired them to make a movie about Mulan? Again, question two is, while researching China's famed warriors, what did the Disney team come across that inspired them to make a movie about Mulan? And our final question this week is, what is the name of the leader of the Ruthless Huns in the movie? So again, what is the name of the leader of the Ruthless Huns in the movie? If you've got the answers to any of those questions or have some feedback or what you'd like to hear on our upcoming shows, email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. We'd be happy to hear from you and looking forward to your feedback. So now we'll head into the news section of our podcast this week. Got lots of great things that have been happening in the world of Disney this week. One of the big news stories down here in Australia was that Cate Blanchett, Australia's very own, is in negotiations to star opposite Harrison Ford in the long-awaited fourth installment of the Indiana Jones series. While nothing's been confirmed, there are rumours all over the internet that she has signed on to portray Indiana Jones's mistress, so we'll have to wait to see in upcoming months what happens there. I think filming's due to start June this year, so it's not too long, but hopefully we'll find out some news on whether she's got that place soon. In other news, a pornographic comic strip showing the stars of Pirates of the Caribbean getting it on has Disney quite angry. Studio is possibly considering legal action against Sinful Comics, who have a website and have drawn Orlando Bloom, Keira Knightley, and Johnny Depp in poses and sexual situations that aren't quite what Disney are used to. So if there's anyone out there, please don't search it on the internet. We're trying to keep the show clean. But yeah, there is a pornographic comic strip of Pirates of the Caribbean out there, which has angered Disney. While we're talking about Pirates of the Caribbean, there's been big media reaction to the releasing of the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End trailer, which debuted Sunday night in American time, I think, during Dancing with the Stars season premiere. During that day, it was announced that Disney Interactive Studios will be producing the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End computer game, which will be released on May 22nd. It will be released on Xbox 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii, PS2, Nintendo DS, and the PC, and the PSP as well. So there's a lot of formats there to cover, but I'm sure it'll be a fairly popular game. But with the trailer, there was a bit of a glitch on the Yahoo.com website. There was a link there counting down to the 10 o'clock Central Time debut of the trailer on the internet. And I'm in Australia, so we're a few hours ahead of America, so 10 o'clock our time Monday night said the trailer was ready, but it wasn't because it hadn't reached that time in America. So it's now available 3 p.m. Tuesday afternoon, and I've had a watch. Looks just like the other ones. Looks like a good watch. We'll have to wait and see till the movie actually comes out, but there'll be more on Pirates in the next few months, I'd say, before that movie comes out. Speaking of new Disney releases, Meet the Robinsons is only a bit over a week away until that hits the screens across the world. This weekend, at selected cinemas across Australia, there'll be a special preview in Disney 3D. So if you'd like to get along to one of those sessions, I think they're charging $10 a ticket. Visit www.villagecinemas.com.au for all the details and check out that movie in advance before it comes out. Another new Disney movie coming out this year is Ratatouille. We've got news that the trailer for the movie will debut online at Disney.com on the 23rd of March, which is Friday, about 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So I'm not sure what time that works out around the world, but check that out for yourself. The trailer will be broadcast on the Disney Channel America during Cora in the House. But for all those who want to see it on the net, March 23rd, Friday, 9:05 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time is when you'll be able to see the theatrical trailer for Ratatouille, which we're all looking forward to here at D-History. In other Disney news, we have at the Walt Disney World Park in Florida, a man has collapsed at the Blizzard Beach Water Park and later pronounced dead at a nearby hospital. He began to climb the stairs to the downhill double dipper water slide and climbed back down after telling his wife he was feeling ill. When he reached the bottom of the stairs, he collapsed and went into cardiac arrest when he was rushed to Florida Hospital and later pronounced dead. This is the 10th death involving Walt Disney World since 2004, with many of these problems resulting to health problems, so not in any means the fault of Disney. In other news, there's worries that the amount of Disney musicals on Broadway could become a little overwhelming for the Disney audience. At the moment, there's Mary Poppins, Beauty and the Beast, which will close in July and be replaced by The Little Mermaid, and Tarzan as well, which is also on top of The Lion King in Johannesburg and Paris, and Tarzan in Holland as well. So all up, there's a lot of Disney musicals, and there's a bit of worry that there will be too many Disney musicals out there for people to choose from. But at the moment, there's no problems with all of them taking a large amount of money. Over in India, the first Walt Disney franchise store opened on Saturday, giving the company its first foothold in India. So the partnership is hoping to boost Disney's presence in India and give more Western products to India based on Disney, so that could be a good opening there for Disney in the Indian sector. And finally, we'll wrap up with a note on National Treasure Sequel. Actor Nicolas Cage and crew are expected to arrive next month to film parts of the sequel to the 2004 movie National Treasure at Mount Rushmore National Memorial. The producers of National Treasure, Book of Secrets, have not yet gotten a filming permit from the National Park Service, but they still think there'll be no problems in getting a permit. Mount Rushmore is also prominent in the 1959 Alfred Hitchcock classic North by Northwest, so it could be good to see what sort of a scene we see in the new National Treasure, which is being produced by Disney yet again like the first was. So that just about brings this week's show to a close. Hopefully you've enjoyed our third podcast. If you've got any feedback at all, email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll make sure we read your notes out on air if we do get any feedback. So have a good week. We'll catch up next week just before the premiere of Meet the Robinsons, which is quite exciting for lots of Disney fans out there. So take care and keep on living the magic.